This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. Governor Kelly Ayotte has long denied knowing about anything about Immigration and Customs Enforcement's plan for a detention facility in Merrimack. But at a U.S. Senate hearing yesterday, ICE Director Todd Lyons told New Hampshire Senator Maggie Hassan his agency had been in contact with the governor. William Skipworth at the New Hampshire Bulletin has been reporting on this, and he joins us now with the latest. Thanks for being here, Will. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Will, what did Lyons have to say yesterday about his communication with Ayotte on this facility?
Yeah. So Lyons said that he had, quote, worked with Governor Ayotte, end quote, on the economic impact of the statement.
How did Ayotte respond to Lyons' claim that ICE has been talking with her office and that they had been in direct contact?
Yeah, she's kind of denied this outright. And what's important about this is that she said up until February 3rd that she had no idea about this facility besides what's been reported on the press. She said she's gotten no confirmation from the federal government. But she says that these communications that Lyons talking about just never happened.
Now, last night, Ayotte did release an additional statement that she now has documents on the facility from the Department of Homeland Security. What's in them? Have you been looking at them?
Yeah. So we just got them last night. We're still digging through them. But, you know, what's notable is there's strange references to the economic impact of this facility on Oklahoma. So we still don't know what to make of that. We're still digging through it. We're still looking for answers.
Now, and I know that the senator was talking about it. There was a proposed facility in Mississippi that has been scrapped apparently because a Republican senator down there said they don't want that. So this is part of a national endeavor that ICE is going through. But you know, this all comes after the governor here in New Hampshire has already been dealing with communication issues with her own administration about the facility in Merrimack.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is just kind of the latest in an ongoing saga. So last week, the ACLU of New Hampshire released documents that they'd obtained showing that the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources, so think like Historic Landmark Preservation Committee, had been working with the federal government to ensure that, you know, there's no historic landmarks where this facility is going to be built. What's important about that is that Ayotte oversees that department. Now, she says that she had no idea, that her department didn't tell her. She was upset about it. She actually asked the leader of that department to resign, and she did resign last week.
What do we know about the next steps with this, for this potential facility in Merrimack?
Yeah. So I think the next thing we do is we dig through these documents. They tell us a lot about how many people these facilities are going to be able to hold and that kind of stuff. And it's kind of we're in a waiting pattern. The federal government has given little information about this outside of where they've been really pushed hard.
Okay. So a lot of news happening in the last 24 hours with this. We're not really sure what's what yet, but I know you're reporting on it and watching this. So we'll keep an eye on it. Thanks so much for following up on this. I know it's been a late night for you with this.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
I do want to touch on another story regarding the governor. She recently vetoed a piece of legislation that some refer to as a bathroom bill. It would have allowed jails, restrooms, and locker rooms to be separated by biological sex, meaning transgender people couldn't use the area that corresponds to their gender identity. So, Will, New Hampshire has an anti-discrimination law that appears to run counter to this proposed legislation. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how are lawmakers trying to get around that?
Yeah, so this anti-discrimination law, it protects people in New Hampshire from discrimination on the basis of stuff like sexuality, race, stuff like that, religion, and one of them is gender identity. So this bill would essentially create an exception to that law for all the things you just mentioned. You know, it'd separate restrooms and locker rooms by biological sex. It could also separate sports teams. And so it just creates exceptions to that law.
It's the third year in a row that, again, a so-called bathroom bill has been vetoed by the governor here in New Hampshire, by a governor. I know Chris Sununu did as well. What did Ayotte say about her veto?
Yeah, so the big thing she said this year is that it's basically the same bill she vetoed last year, so she's going to veto it again. Now, last year, she called the bill impractical. She said it was overly broad. And it's also important to note that, like you mentioned, her predecessor, Chris Sununu, he vetoed it the year before. And big thing he said, that it goes against New Hampshire's live free or die spirit.
Now, Ayotte has supported some lawmakers' goals with these bills, though. Isn't that true?
Yeah. It's interesting. She kind of expresses a sympathy for their goals, but she says that she thinks this is the wrong way to do it. And it's unclear exactly what she thinks is the right way to do it.
Lawmakers have also had a slate of vaccine-related legislation before them this session. Can you give us some of the highlights of what they are proposing? I mean, this is, again, stuff that we've seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a contingent of, you know, vaccine skeptics in the legislature that bring this kind of legislation every year. I would say the two big ones are there's one bill that seeks to eliminate every vaccine mandate. So in New Hampshire, we're required to have our children vaccinated against a number of vaccines. This bill wants to eliminate everyone except polio. So that one's still working its way through committee. Then there's another one that specifically targets the hepatitis B vaccine. And that one was actually just approved by the House yesterday. It's going to go to the Finance Committee and then the Senate. And so, you know, there's a lot going on in this space.
And these bills would essentially eliminate any mandates for kids going into schools and daycares, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right.
Several of these bills do echo changes at the CDC and in other states when it comes to vaccination requirements. Can you explain some of that context?
Yeah, absolutely. So the new Health Secretary, Robert Kennedy, who's long been a vaccine skeptic, he's taken over head of Health and Human Services in the federal government. And, you know, he's one notable thing he did is the committee at the CDC that recommends vaccines, he fired every member of the committee earlier this year and replaced a lot of them with vaccine skeptics. A big notable thing they did is, speaking of hepatitis B, is they changed the recommendation of the federal government to make it so that it's only recommended for children whose parents tested positive for hepatitis B. That decision was instantly controversial. It was panned by a lot of major health organizations and regulators, and it's caused a lot of controversy.
Yeah, what about state health officials? How have they been responding to these bills in Concord?
Yeah. So I say it's not common for state agencies to directly oppose or support a bill. But that being said, the state epidemiologist, Dr. Benjamin Chan, testified on this bill, and they actually oppose some of these vaccine-related legislation that would eliminate the state's vaccine requirements.
William Skipworth covers health for the New Hampshire Bulletin. Will, thanks so much for being here. I know it was a late night writing about some breaking news, and we really appreciate you coming in early this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can find more of Will's work, by the way, at NewHampshireBulletin.com. Now, lawmakers are considering bills in the House and Senate that would give the state more control over local schools and their budgets. These open enrollment bills would allow students to attend any school in the state. And HBR's Anne-Marie Timmons has been reporting on the legislation and joins us now. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Rick.
The bills before lawmakers, sponsored by Republican Senator Tim Langes-Sanberton. Anne-Marie, what's the senator's vision for students with these bills?
He's really thinking about those students who aren't getting what they need from their school. So if you're into music and your school does not have a big music program, maybe another one does, you could go there. You might want, you know, go to a place where there's higher test scores. You might want a more diverse student body. So you might choose Manchester. Maybe you want to go play on a team that has a really successful basketball coach. You could do that too. So he wants to give kids something that makes them want to go to school and succeed in school.
Okay. So he's saying this is about school choice, essentially.
Yes.
The education for public school students is paid for by the district where those students live. Who would pay if students are not going to the school in their home district?
Well, this is where it really gets sort of divisive and complicated. Even superintendents who told me, I'm not opposed to open enrollment, say this is the problem, because when you leave a school, the taxpayer dollars that are in your community go with you to the new school. And that is frustrating for superintendents, sort of both philosophically in a way, but also just managing the budgeting of that is hard.
Yeah. How are school district leaders responding to this?
They are trying to really limit what students could do. So about 40 student towns have taken this up so far. And about, I think all of them have said, none of our students can leave. We don't want anyone to leave. We'll let some come in. Maybe three people could come into our German program, or maybe we'll take 10 students in elementary school. Pembroke Academy, Pembroke School District, on the other hand, is open to 300 students because they want to deal with declining enrollment, and they see this as an opportunity to do that.
Has Governor Ayotte said anything about her position on open enrollment legislation?
She told MUR last weekend that the bill has, quote, problems. I've placed multiple calls to that office to try to get clarity. Even does she support open enrollment? And those have not been returned.
So outside of the State House, as you said, some towns are kind of crafting policies of their own on this issue. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? You mentioned Pembroke.
Yes, I went to the Epsom School Deliberative Session. And it's such a confusing topic. The first person in the microphone said, could we just get a Cliff's Notes version of this? Can you simplify it?
Right.
You and I know what Cliff's Notes are.
We do. We've a certain generation, yes.
And there isn't an easy answer. And superintendents are having a hard time explaining this. So I think the easiest way is to think about this as you could go anywhere in the state to school, and you could do that any time of the year, and we'll sort of have to make that work. It's really struggling. Students are struggling, and superintendents are. So in Epsom, they said, we'll let 5 students come in to our elementary school. Over in Mount Vernon, they said, no students can go out, and no students can come in. So it's really, really varied. I think superintendents are unsure how this would look. There's another bill that would study this for a year, and that's really what they're backing.
Okay, so it's a patchwork right now, and I know that there's been a push of the Republicans in the State House lately about more state control in schools. So how might these local decisions from voters work with or against, you know, a statewide bill in the legislature?
This bill, it's moving quickly through the legislature. It could get to the governor quite soon. And if it does, and she signs that, all of these limits that we're seeing put in place now will be moot, and it'll overturn those. So those will not be in place at all. Every school district will have to let their students leave. They can set some limits, but the legislation is very vague. You would have to decide how much vacancy you have and kind of put up we have some vacancy notices on your website, but it's unclear how you would determine that. So a lot of questions still about this.
Have there been studies about the financial implications of this? I mean, do we have any idea? Are there estimates about numbers in different towns?
It's hard, I think, to estimate it, because if you go to another district, you can take between 80% of what your school spends to 100% of it. So that's a question on one hand. If you are a Manchester student and you go to Bedford, maybe at the low end, you would bring about $14,000 with you. Bedford pays $20,000 for education per student. So Bedford really sees that, like, you can come here and get a $20,000 education at a tuition break.
Yeah.
So it's so much is unknown. I think that's why they want to see it studied.
Okay. We'll be watching for your updates. Anne-Marie Timmons is NHPR's youth and education reporter. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Thanks, Rick.
You can find more of her work, by the way, at nhpr.org. I'm Rick Amley. This is NHPR.